fallen short of perfection. And now a quick review some of the ways that we've missed it. If you have your Bibles with you, or if you have one on your table, please take them out. We're going to be in Romans, starting with Romans 3. But also I have a couple other verses, and so that people aren't jumping all around, I want to just kind of hand out a couple verses that people could have ready. Andy, is that a fancy Bible there? Okay. Could you look at 1 Corinthians 15:22? Jan, could you look up 1 Peter 2, verse 24? Hey, Dave, could you look up John 3:36? Those will be a little bit later, but I just want to have those ready. All the other ones will be in Romans. But as we look at ways that we have missed the mark, I wanted to talk, you know, just as a review, a couple of those. The rest of you can turn to Romans 1. If I can beat me there. Romans 1, starting with verse 28, talks about some of the ways we missed the mark. Furthermore, since they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, he gave them over to a depraved mind, to do what ought not to be done. They have become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, and depravity. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and malice. They are gossips, slanderers, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, and boastful. They invent ways of doing evil. Oh, and then there's the worst one. The worst one. They disobey their parents. Oh, my goodness. And of course, along with that, they are senseless, faithless, heartless, and ruthless. Although they know God's righteous decree that those who do such things deserve death, and not only continue to do these very things, but approve of those who practice them. Now, the answer to how God saves sinners comes right after the last verse we looked at last week, as we looked at Romans 3:23. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Christian, could you read us Romans 3:24?
And are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus.
Okay. So it's through his grace that we're justified freely, not of our own works. And God's plan of salvation really runs all the way through the Bible, all the way through the scriptures. But there are some places where we just see it really, really plainly. And in Romans 3 and following is one of those places. Because when God looks at us, he doesn't see any righteousness. And what does righteousness mean? It means without guilt, without sin, without stain. And to say, well, to me, without any righteousness, that seems kind of harsh, a high standard. Can't just a little bit of unrighteousness be left in there? What if it's still in the box, but what if for snack today I made you some brownies for some of you? And I told you, I put in all the ingredients, 3 tablespoons of water, half cup of vegetable oil, 2 eggs, the packet in here. And then also, just to spice things up, I put some poop in there. Now, your first question probably wouldn't be, well, how much poop did you put in? Is it a lot of poop or a little bit of poop? You wouldn't care. It's poop, there's poop in there. I'm not eating it. It wouldn't be, well, how much? Spiritually speaking, we've all got just at least a little bit of poop in our lives. And so, righteous brownies would have nothing but pure ingredients, right? There wouldn't be anything else in there. And a person with righteousness would have no sin. So when God looks at us, he doesn't see any righteousness in the fact that we have no sin. But he looks at us in Christ, it's not just that he doesn't just see an improvement. He sees his son's righteousness, Jesus' righteousness. He sees perfection because of Jesus' righteousness applied to us. We've learned kind of one great word in Scripture going through the salvation. Another one is justification. And we talked about this before, justified. If you break that word justified, it means just if I'd never sinned. Just if I'd never had sin that God does for us. So how do we get that? How do we get the righteousness of Christ? ourselves. When Christ died on the cross, think of it like a bank. How many of you guys have ever, kids ever been to a bank? You ever seen mom and dad go to a bank? Okay. When Christ died on the cross, his righteousness was deposited, was placed in our accounts. It's like Jesus deposited something in the bank and it showed up in our account. Now the miracle to us is not only that, but that it showed up in all of our accounts. That one man died for all of us. That God died for all of us. Just as we learned last week, with one man's sin caused all of us to have a sin nature. With Adam's sin, we all have a sin nature whether we want it or not. Through Adam's sin. So through one man's sacrifice, we all can receive salvation. In fact, who did 1 Corinthians 15:22? Was that you, Andy? Okay. So in Christ, because of what he did on the cross, all of us are made alive, or we have the opportunity to be made alive. So it's our faith in Christ that allows a deposit to show up in our account, not because of anything that we've done, not because of any works that we've done. You don't increase your righteousness by doing good things. It's done by believing Christ was the Son of God and died for our sins, not by works that you do. Let's have somebody, Trevor, are you at Romans 3? Could you read Romans 3:28? Okay, that a person is justified by faith and not by works. That great truth right there. In fact, Trevor, could you read it one more time?
Well, we maintain that a person is justified by faith apart from the works of the law.
That thought, that truth gave birth to the Great Reformation in the 16th century. It freed the believer from the idea that people are saved by works. To be able to live a life of faith and liberty in Christ. And not only are we saved by faith, but then we also must live by faith, trusting in Christ. Sam has a devotional that he reads, and started this new thing on Sunday afternoons where everybody kind of bring their favorite devotional from the week and share it with the family on Sunday afternoon. And Sam's this last week talked about a brother and a sister were going out picking berries, and their grandfather said, okay, but when you're picking berries, don't go over this fence over here. Don't go beyond that fence. And they said, okay. Well, they've been picking berries for a while, and they saw just over the fence there were some really good looking berries on the other side of the and they thought, well, probably nobody's even seen those over there, and we could go over there and pick those and be back before anybody knows what happened. And so they went across the fence, and they started picking the berries. Well, before they knew it, they got a little farther away from the fence, a little farther away, and they'd gotten out by the pasture. Well, next thing you know, they're both up staring right into this bull, and this bull in the pasture is coming charging toward them. And they go taking off, and they're spilling berries everywhere, and they finally get to the fence, and they get over the fence, and the berries spill over in the big circle on the ground from their pails on the ground, and they're just panting and sweating. And right about that time, their grandfather comes up smiling. He goes, well, I see you've met Reason. So who's Reason? He goes, the Reason is the bull. He says, well, why would he name the bull Reason? He goes, that's the reason you don't go over the fence. As we live by faith, sometimes we have to trust God that he knows what's best for us. So we trust and obey him, even when our own wisdom makes us think that we know better. Paul gives us an illustration of justification by faith from the Old Testament. And a key illustration that he tells us about in Romans 4 is about Abraham, how Abraham's faith was counted as righteousness, was credited to him as righteousness. And this is important because Abraham was such a revered, and is such a revered figure in the Jewish faith. Obviously, you know, he was the one who first received the covenant promise from God, and to suggest that Abraham was not going to receive salvation, well, that's kind of ridiculous. However, in Romans, it points out, you know, Abraham lived before Moses. before God's law was given to God's people. So how could Moses be made righteous by keeping the law? By just, you know, doing all the things the law said. When God made his covenant with Abraham, there was no temple, you know, where the sacrifice could be made. There were no priests from the line of Levi, because Levi wasn't even born yet. And yet, he had righteousness. Linda, can you read Romans 4, verses 1 through 5? Okay, so Abraham doesn't work for his justification, but he believed God. He trusted in God. And when we trust Christ for our salvation, we also have that righteousness applied to us. But this Abraham example helps us to understand, you know, what about those people who lived before Christ? Because last week we talked about what about those people who never heard about Christ. Now we talk about those who lived before Christ. Their belief or trust in God was credited. And ours is really more of a debit. I want to illustrate that. Maddie, could you come up here for a second? And River, can I come up here for a sec? Could you come up here? You're not in trouble. Okay. All right. Maddie, we're going to have you represent Abraham, okay? And all the people who lived before, you know, before Christ. And River, you're going to represent, you know what? You're going to represent everybody here, all those people who lived since Christ. You don't want to? Are you sure? Okay, you, all right. Who would like to represent? You take, yeah, that, as soon as you duck behind somebody's, that gets you out of here. All right, Tate, so you're going to represent all the rest of us that have lived since Christ. And so I've got two cards here. This is a credit card, and this is a debit card. And both of these can be used to buy Slurpees. And I, yeah, they're both just as good. And so I've used both of those. Now, if I went in with this card, this is Abraham. If you went in with this card and you bought something, let's say a Slurpee, okay? Just say, it was 44 ounces with all the different colors in it, and you gave it to me. All right, so no. So you buy a Slurpee with this, but it's credited. They know that you don't really have that money, but you're going to pay it back later, okay? Later, you're going to get a bill, and you're going to pay for that. Okay, there's going to be a bill to be paid. So that's Abraham and those in the Old Testament before Christ that they believed and trusted in the Messiah, because there were 324, I mean, those before Christ believed in a Messiah to come. They were looking for a Messiah. There's 324 prophecies about a Messiah in the Old Testament. And so then Christ's death on the cross is like the payment that was credited to them, their righteousness was credited to them. Now, Tate has a debit card. So there's already, the payment has already been made here, right? And the money is already there. So when he buys something at the store, the payment's already there. There's no later payment to be made. So for those of us who have trusted Christ since his death on the cross, that payment for our sins, and as he overcame sin and death, has already been made for us. So we have the difference between the two, and that they point out in Romans between Abraham and then someone like Paul who lived since Christ. All right, guys, I'll take those back. I'm going to be thirsty later today. All right, thank you, guys. You guys can take a seat. The payment has already been made for us. We just have to accept it. Okay, when we look into heaven, if we could look into heaven and we could see, as we talked about last week, that God, who sits on his throne, condemns us. You know, he condemns all of us because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And that kind of makes us sad. But then we see the one sitting at his right hand, holding out the wounded hands, the one who has pierced feet and a pierced side, who is presenting these wounds. He's pleading our case. And we know that we have our assurance that, through his wounds, we are healed. Because of what he has done, that is sufficient to make payment. And that overcomes the payment for our sin. In fact, some of you maybe have seen in your house, you've got hot water and cold water that go through. Because you look at it, not only in all the way through Romans, you have the stream of sin and the river of grace, salvation, running through them. And you've got these in your house, you know, one for hot water, one for cold water. Maybe you're filling up a bathtub. And you're filling up your bathtub and you got both of them turned on to some degree. And it's a little bit too cold. You don't always have to turn off the cold water, but you turn up the hot water even more, and the hot water overcomes the cold water. You know, the bigger, the stronger flow of salvation and grace overcomes the stream of sin. Romans 5:20. Susie, could you read Romans 5:20 for us? Grace increases far more than our sin. Going back to last week just a little bit, you know, you don't have to be a sinner in the sight of everyone else in order to be lost. Yeah, there are degrees of sin, but not the fact of sin and its results. That the wages of sin is death. You know, imagine sin as water. There are those who can drown. You can drown in 10, if you can't swim, you can drown in 10 feet of water just as easily as you can in 100 feet of water. Okay? It makes no difference. It's in our inability to save ourselves that puts us all on the same level. We all have the inability to save ourselves. You know, remember the difference between the Jews and the Gentiles we talked about last week? The Jews had the law and the Gentiles didn't. But in terms of being able to save ourselves, save themselves, there is no difference. Romans, Steve? Do you have Romans 3:22?
Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith in Jesus Christ and the law, and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference.
Okay, so there's no difference in our ability to be able to save ourselves. It's not in our ability to swim or to do good works or good things that we're saved. It's through Christ's sacrifice on the cross that we're saved. He's the sacrifice for our sins. Anna, could you read Romans 3, verses 24 and 25?
And are justified freely by grace through the redemption that came by Jesus Christ. God presented him as a sacrifice of atonement through faith in his blood. He did this to demonstrate his justice, because in his forbearance he had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished.
Okay. And I'm a person that's condemned to die because of my sin, right? The wages of sin is death. But I can look to the cross and see that Christ already died for me. And I believe that he died for my sins, and I trust in his death to save me. How many? Oh, okay. How many of you have ever traded in a car? Taking a car and is traded. Okay. So imagine that you bring out any old rust bucket that you can push, pull, or tow to the lot. And the dealer takes that trade in and then offers you the best car on the lot. Even trade. Well, that's kind of a picture of what God has done for us. He's given that trade in. So I exchanged my poor, simple, condemned life. And I can accept his righteousness in his life. Who did I get? 1 Peter 2:24. Okay.
He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, so that we might.
So when we get that trade-in, we become healed from our sins when we believe and trust in the Son of God. John, oh no, wait, I give that to somebody else. John 3:36, I'm sorry. Yeah, Dave.
Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever rejects the Son will not see life. For God's wrath remains on them.
Okay, so it's by our belief, our faith, our trust in the Son of God as a sacrifice for our sins that we have eternal life, not by our works, anything that we do. And I know I just keep driving this point home, but a murderer can stand at the bottom of a mine, and you can stand on the top of a mountain, and you are no more able to touch the stars than the murderer is. On our own, we can never attain the righteousness that God wants for us. But forgiveness and justification are available to us through Jesus. Think of it this way. Forgiveness and justification kind of look at it like this. Like, forgiveness is the removal of our sin. That through Jesus on the cross, that removes our sin from us. But the justification is like righteousness. The Bible talks of like a clothing that's put on us, like righteousness that we have from God. And His righteousness is a perfect one. It's a perfect righteousness that we put on. So justification is that act of being clothed with righteousness of Jesus. And here's one more point that we really need to understand. The person who put their faith in Christ an hour ago is just as justified as the oldest living Christian on earth. You don't become any more justified than the minute we receive Christ and trust in Christ. Because justification is something that's done outside of us, that was done on the cross. Now, we'll talk next week more about sanctification, becoming more like Christ, and that's a different story. But as far as being justified, that is done by us, or for us. Before we, and I want to go through what's generally referred to, I didn't know which week I'd do this, but generally referred to as a Roman road. It looks at a few verses of Romans as a quick reference of the gospel. And so we're going to kind of go through that, and then I'm going to actually give you an opportunity to respond to the gospel as well. But let's start by going through the Romans road. And there's different ones that include different verses, but these are the basic verses that are usually included. Romans 3:23 shows that we've all sinned. Amy, could you do Romans 3:23?
For everyone has sinned, we all fall short of God's glory.
Okay, and then Romans 6:23 tells us because of that sin, we die. Katie, could you, Romans 6:23?
For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Okay, so they've got bad news, good news there, right? The wages of sin are death, but the gift of God, remember, that's not something we can earn, not something by our own works. The gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And the gift is something that's free, but it's also something that has to be received. Romans 5:8 tells us that instead of dying, that Christ has died for us. Larry, could you read Romans 5:8? Okay, good. And then Romans 10, verse 9 and 10, says that if we confess and believe in this Jesus Christ, that we can have salvation. Charlie, are you there?
Yep.
Romans 10, 9 and 10.
If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God. And it is by confessing with your mouth that you are saved.
Okay. So it's through belief and trust that we're saved. We can believe, but we also have to have trust at the same time. Joey, could you come up here for a second? Can you kind of stand here and face out towards everybody? Let's right up here. All right, now put your arms out to your side. Straight out to the side. Okay, and now if you fall backwards, I'd catch you. Do you believe that?
No.
No? that's going to be a problem. All right, what if I'm promising you that I'm going to catch you. What about now?
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Now, how can we test that to know if he really believes?
Gotta do it.
He has to. There's more than belief. There's a trust. Because if he won't actually trust, then does he actually believe? Is he sweating? No. Oh no. He's cool. He's got it. All right. Let's see if he actually believes by trusting and falling backwards. Oh, he did. All right. Good job. So there's an element of belief, and there's that element of trust. Yes, I believe in Jesus Christ, but are we trusting him for our salvation? And our faith is, thanks for doing that, Joey. Our faith is a personal faith, but it's also not really, never meant to be private. You know, our baptisms next month, people getting baptized will give testimony about their faith. Maybe you thought you understood what it meant to accept God's grace, but it was never really fully explained to you, and you want to respond to that. I know that was my part of my testimony, that one day I just asked Jesus into my heart, really not knowing what it meant, and then later on I understood it better, you know, and I responded to what I understood as I trusted Christ for my salvation. This morning, if you want to respond to the gospel, don't shy back from doing that because there's other people. We have enough areas of our life where we don't do things that we know that we should do because other people are around. The church should not be one of those places. But I also want to give you a caution, because we talked about this being a trade-in, right? You bring in your Uncle Jalopy and you get the best car on the lot. You bring in your sin-stained life and get the righteousness of Jesus. That's good news. But you also have to let go of your trade-in. That you are offering your life. That he is the, one of the verses that we just read, that he is the owner of our life. So God gives you a new life, but now his priorities become your priorities. That his ways become your ways. And you say, okay, well, you're making a big deal. Why don't you just... Because it is a big deal. So maybe first time in your life you would want to trust Christ because you know works can't do it on your own. Or maybe you've never had it explained this way to you before. Maybe someone somewhere asked you to say a prayer without thinking. And like I said, I kind of trusted my life to Christ twice. Once when I didn't really understand and once when I did. You know, you could call it a rededication or whatever you want. But if you want to respond in any way, respond to the gospel in that way, I'm going to have you just a moment just to raise your hand. I've struggled over the years with different ways of doing this, but today what we're doing, we're just going to have everyone close your eyes as you make a personal decision. And afterwards, we'll talk about ways you can make that public through baptism and through testimony. So let's just have everyone close their eyes for a moment. And I'm going to leave my eyes open just because I want to connect with people that make that decision because I want to be able to follow up with you later. So this is you know, it is a private thing in your own heart that I want to be able to celebrate with you and help you progress on from here. So if you listen this morning and over the last week, and you realize, okay, there's absolutely no way that I can make it on my own. Even if I'm standing on a mountaintop, I cannot touch the stars. That through my own good works, I am not justified and saved. That it's only through Christ's righteousness. Believing in him, trusting in him, that I can have salvation. And you realize that for the first time, or you realize it more clearly for the first time, I just had to ask you just slip your hand up in the air. Okay, great. You guys can put your hands down. And for those, I want to encourage you to do two things today. One, tell somebody. Even though we have our eyes closed around here, and our faith is personal, it's not meant to be private. So tell somebody about that decision, and then let me follow up with you and talk about ways maybe we can share your testimony with the body. Heavenly Father, I just want to pray right now, or lead you in a prayer for those that just had their hands up. So you can kind of pray along in your spirit, or just kind of say, you know, me too, God, or pray this in your own words in your mind. But let's pray. Heavenly Father, I don't want to just know about you. I want to know you personally. That I'm willing, with your help, to turn from my sins. Thank you for sending your Son, Jesus, to die on the cross in my place, to be my Savior. I thank you that his righteousness can now be mine. God, I ask that you would come into my life and lead me. Show me how to live. God, I'm turning over my wants, my priorities to you. I ask that you would, God, you would take me and use me. And just so thankful that you have a place prepared for me. God, I pray that you would fill my life with purpose. Pray all this in your name, Jesus. Amen. Well, let's